Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's show on Insight Radio Network. The show tonight is on the value of raising consciousness, but the first thing I'm going to say is I love typos, because, you know, when you operate totally in consciousness, you don't create typos. So I can't say that I'm 100% in operating in consciousness, but I have to have a humor about it, and that's about the best way I can take it, that, you know, life is what it is. And before we get into tonight's show, I've got a few things I'd like to share with people. First is my book on karma. A lot of people, I'm not sure, take karma as a legitimate thing, but it is. It's an extremely powerful aspect of knowledge, of knowing what cause is, where things come from and why things happen, or what are you being shown when things are happening. Because we are the creators of life, and we create life. We create life in every moment in which we live. We create our experiences. We create everything about ourselves. But most people don't want to accept personal responsibility for that. Here's the funny thing. You can do that all you want. In Buddhism, it is stated that there are two forms of suffering. One is when you wish to avoid something and you run from it. That means it'll follow you every single place that you go, and you'll never get away from it. Second aspect of that is that when you decide that you turn to face what you're suffering against, then you become free. You see, in consciousness, if we operate in consciousness, then we know what it is that we are creating. Yeah, I know, humorously, even if it's typos, we would be aware of those things. The truth is in life that consciousness is a very real thing, a very valid thing, and that's what karma and the ideas of karma tend to portray to people, that you are the cause in your life, and the effects or the experiences that you have, they are the effects. So you create them. Next thing I'd like to do is just say a few words on a metaphysical interpretation of the Bible. It's about what the Bible is really telling us. It's what it's really sharing with us. It's what it really wants us to know. The idea of revelation is not the end of the world, in spite of what Christianity says. It's not. They've predicted that many, many times throughout the millennia, and as far as I know, we're still here. So revelation is not about the end of times. It's about a shift or change. And to find out what that is, hey, take a peek at the book. Next thing is I'd like to give a few shout-outs to people, to Fred in Columbus, Ohio, to Tina in Singapore, to Lynn, Mississippi, to Lorraine in Singapore, and to Jay in the Philippines. Thank you guys so much for listening. And you are deeply, deeply appreciated. Next thing I'd like to say is I love working with people. It's what I do. I work day in and day out as a life coach, helping people understand what it is that they're experiencing in their lives and the purpose behind it. I've been told that I'm pretty good at what I do, and I'd like to think that I am, because I just love people that much. All of that being said, ladies and gentlemen, to me, there's only synchronicity in life, and I mean that, synchronicity. Things happen always for a reason. As you know, last week I talked about the idea that Liara was stepping aside and going in a different direction, and I applaud her for doing that and what it is that she's doing. And lo and behold, I just posted the idea of the show yesterday. And I go onto Facebook today, and my goodness, there's some interesting statements that she made about the idea of consciousness. So I'm going to attribute this to Liara Covert, and I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to talk about it. Notice, it's common to speak of being unconscious and being awake as if separate states, and a lapse in memory can exist, which they really can't. What if only consciousness exists? and each person and its self-created world appear in consciousness? What if everything is alive, but humans have selective awareness? A world only exists when a person exists to perceive it. The clearer you understand that on the level of mind you can only be described as what you are not, the quicker your seeking ends and limitless being arises. Consciousness is itself the painter. My goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, think about the idea of the show and what was just said. And we're going to refer back to it from time to time in tonight's show, because you see, there is only synchronicity in life. Consciousness has the opportunity of perceiving things and understanding things. It can understand things like violence or conflict. It can understand and appreciate and accept things like peace. It can do that. But here's the other thing about consciousness. Consciousness can dwell in violence, and it can stay in violence, and it can stay in that angered, agitated state of violence. It can. Consciousness can also step into the realm and the idea of peace. It can. The truth is, we vacillate between those two polarities as we move from being angered to happy to peace. We can see those day in and day out. But here's the thing. We are the orchestrator, like Lihara said that I was reading from. We are the creator of those events. We are the creator of the very moods that we express. We are the creator. We are the expressor. And that can't be denied, even though we would like to think that it can be. Ladies and gentlemen, our world today has a lot of things going on in it that you could say, in a sense, is stirring the pot or agitating things. Yes, it's true. There are things like ISIS out there. There are things like deception, deceit. There are those things. You can get caught up in those, and you can have your mind live in those realms. And when you do, all of your experiences are totally going to be in those arenas, in conflict, in violence, in turmoil, in unrest, in unacceptingness. Yeah, that's a path. But is it one we all have to take? That answer is no. The truth is, consciousness. Let's take a look at that for a moment. Consciousness. Gosh. When we look at the idea of individual humans, we think everything is and everyone are just simply individuals. When we look at them from an external perspective, that's true. We are. We appear to be separate. We appear to be separated. The only reason you can see trees in the forest is because of the separation of the trees. Same is true with humans. But when it comes to the idea of consciousness, that's a different story. When it comes to the idea of consciousness, we are inseparably connected. If you were to go to, let's say, Yosemite National Forest, and you were to look at a grove of giant sequoia trees, what you would see would be separate trees, separate from each other, living differently, living separately. But that's not true. If you were to look beneath the surface, sequoias have what's called a taproot. That taproot connects each of the trees in the grove to each other. So they are inseparably connected. What's the advantage to that? Well, that's actually easy. The reason they do that is because if there's a forest fire and the trees on the outer perimeter are being threatened by the heat and the flames, all the inner trees send sap through that taproot to the outer trees to keep them alive. And what they do is they support each other in consciousness. That's something that humanity in and of itself does not do. We can, we could, we don't. Because we don't recognize and realize the value of consciousness and the raising of consciousness. If we were to raise consciousness in our reality, what do you think our experience would be? I mean, really, if we were to raise consciousness in every human out there, could it be that war would no longer exist on this planet? Could it be that conflict would no longer be an aspect of our reality? Is that a possibility? That answer is yes, it is. Why? Because it's called consciousness. It's called the realization of the interconnectedness of all living organisms, no matter what they are, no matter what they appear to be. Life in and of itself supports itself on this planet. Every single creature, whether it's a mosquito, whether it's an ant, it's a snake, dog, cat, or a human, it really doesn't matter. All of life supports all life. And what it is about that, I don't get. You see, there's an ancient prophecy that says that there will become a time where the forces of lightness, of light and darkness are going to exert themselves. Well, you know, I have to believe that at the present moment, we could say that's actually going on. And we could call it consciousness, light, unconsciousness, darkness. You know, when we live in that idea of violence and so much conflict, and I'm not denying its existence in the world because it is certainly there, but you know what? It doesn't have to dominate our being. It doesn't have to dominate who we are. What has to dominate who we are is that divine thing known as the human. That we are that incredible, we are that impeccable, we are that real, we are that valid, that we as the divine conscious human can operate in any direction that we so choose, absolutely in any direction that we so choose. And what do we choose? We choose the foolishness of day in and day out living. We choose the foolishness of remaining trapped in the illusion in which we live, that there has to be this idea of conflict, that there has to be this idea of war. That's operating unconsciously. Let me see if I can. Operating consciously, what does that look like? What does that seem like? Well, you know, it's kind of like when I was a monk, here's what I was taught. That operating in consciousness is always being aware of what you're doing. Not why you do it, but what it is that you're doing. If you're turning right in an automobile, being conscious would say, okay, is there anybody there? Is there anybody you're going to run into? Is there anybody that's going to hinder in any way your turn? Now, here's the funny thing. Most people just assume nobody is there. When you assume nobody is there, you are actually operating in darkness. You are operating in the subconscious mind. You are operating on a routine, believing that no one is going to be in your way to hinder it. Wow, look at the concept of the idea of accidents. Let's go back to the word synchronicity. In life, there is only synchronicity, and the human is the only living thing that can get in the way of synchronistic vibration and synchronistic energy flow. So what does that say about the illusion of the accident? I mean it. What does that say? It says it was no accident. It says that it had a purpose. It says that it's filling something. And what's it filling? That's simple. It's filling consciousness with the idea of you at the time of the accident living in unconsciousness, not being aware of your surroundings, not being aware of what's going on around you. Gosh, unconsciousness is where most people resonate, vibrate, and live, in unconsciousness. For goodness sakes, is living unconsciously that special and that important? Or wait a minute, Stephen, it takes too much damn work to live in consciousness 24/7. Are you so sure? Only at first, maybe. Only at first, maybe. And I say that because all it takes is present moment awareness. Now hear me. Present moment awareness. For gosh sakes, that sounds simple. Why do I say that? That's easy. because where else can you be? Yeah, you can be in the future in your brain, but your body is not in the future. When you do that, you're living unconsciously. When you are present with yourself today, now, in this moment, you are living consciously. Living consciously is not difficult. It's a walk in the park. All it takes is diligence. Diligence and self-observation of observing yourself in every moment that you find yourself in. In those moments, you find behaviors. You find conversation. You find being. You find activity. We find so many different things in those subtle moments. You see, but it's in those moments, that's where we live. That's where we reside. The only place that can take us out of that is our brain, is our head, is our mind. It can take us into the future. It can take us into a moment that doesn't exist, which is going to create stress, unrest, unsettledness. It's going to do that. It has to. Why? That's simple. Because it's a future moment. And future is based on fears, suspicion, a variety of things. But the future is based in nothing. Why do I say that? That's simple. Because the future isn't here. You don't know what that's going to do. You can assume all that you want. You can fear all you want. You can worry all you want. And what does it do? It gives you white hair. It gives you wrinkles. It gives you disease. It gives you all sorts of things which are meaningless. Because when anybody ever looks into their life and you look at what you thought of the future and then how the future turned out, more times than not, what you thought and what happened, well, basically, they were two different things. The outcomes, what it showed you, all of it was totally different. And what were you worried about? Something that never occurred. You decided to step into your unconscious state of being and operate out of that unconscious state until it tortured you. As was said earlier in the show, there's two types of suffering according to Buddhist precepts. One is things that you wish to avoid and you run from. And those things follow you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, they will follow you. They are relentless. It's also because of karma. Same thing. Second type of suffering is when you decide to turn and face the very thing you're suffering with. And then and only then will you arrive at the idea of freedom. Freedom to be you. Freedom to the selection of who you are. That becomes the operation of consciousness. When you do that, operating consciously, you see, us humans have an option. And the option is simple. We can operate consciously, and we can operate unconsciously. Fortunately or unfortunately, most people operate unconsciously. Why do we do that? That's simple. We are conditioned. We are conditioned into operating in that state, unconsciously. We are conditioned that this is the way things are. We are conditioned to believe from the time that we come into this world, inadvertently through our family, but I'm even going to say inadvertently through the educational system, but the aspects of living life, they stare us in the face constantly in the sense of us operating on automatic pilot, which is where all the powers that be want us to be on automatic pilot. And as we operate on automatic pilot, we tend to go along with the status quo. Look, I'm not a rabble-rouser. I'm not looking to stir up trouble or to create dissent. Not at all. It's about being human. And the humanistic values of life and who we are and what we're about, my heavens, if we realize who we really are, I don't think we would do half of what we do, because we are incredible beings. No, I mean that. We are incredible. We are the essence of divine. Think about something. We are created from divine energy, through divine energy, because of the divine. What does that make us? Doesn't it make us the divine concept of being? That response is yes. And look what we do with it. We reduce it to unconscious behavior, which is meaningless, which takes us no place. Wait a minute, Stephen, what do you mean it takes us no place? Okay, take a look at the history of the world. Wow, look at what we've been doing to each other throughout the dawn of time. Is that necessary? I mean, really, is that all that important? Do we have to kill each other? We have to torture each other? We have to maim each other? We have to do crap to each other that makes no sense? The answer is no. We don't. We are divine entities. That was the original intention. To create something that was the expression of the magnificence of life. Actually, that is us. We are that expression. But look what we do with it. Look at what we share with each other. Look at what we give to each other, because we prefer to operate in a realm of unconsciousness, that we aren't aware of our own reality. Give me a break. Everybody's got to be aware of their own reality and our reality as it is. Look what we do to it. Look what we do about it, which almost in a way is almost nothing, because we're so caught up in what we perceive to be the ugliness of life, and I find that absurd. All too often in this world, we hear this phrase, it's not a perfect world, and we aren't perfect people. Excuse me a second. That's like saying God made some kind of a mistake. Okay. Don't we consider that idea as the epitome of perfection? If we do, and it makes a mistake, that would make that whole concept a joke. Why? That's simple. Life is perfect, as are we all. But we have a brain, and we have a conditioning that we have to, if we will, to understand consciousness, work through. It was once stated that on the path of consciousness, one faces the greatest levels of adversity. And I think it's because of that that a lot of people back away from it, that they would rather face their own unconscious struggle, which creates and maintains the world in the manner that it is, in the manner that it is. Which means, on one hand, would appear that we are growing, but on the other, I have to ask, are we? Are we really expanding in consciousness? Now, what would be the true value of consciousness? Because I haven't said that yet. What would be the true value, Stephen? How about global peace? I'm going to say that again. How about global peace? A world without war, without conflict. Oh, wait, sure. Oh, okay. Because of the idea of consciousness? Baloney. No? Really? If you operate unconsciously, you may be agitated by someone because of their race, because of their color, because of what they believe in. But if you are operating in consciousness, you would realize they're human. And they are applying their own limitations to themselves. And everyone has the right to do that. Everyone has the right to do that. And if that's true, operating consciously now would allow that person to do just that. And not only that, honor them in such a way that you let them know that you honor them in their own limitation, that you don't discriminate, you don't persecute, you don't attack because of somebody else's belief. Belief, wow. Belief can do so many things. Belief can create war, but belief can keep you away from consciousness at the same time, because belief has nothing to do with consciousness. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I remember when I first became a monk. My teachers spent probably more time destroying every belief I had, at least initially, than anything else, until every belief was so destroyed that I had none. I didn't know what to believe in. And, you know, I can remember back in that time, that's an interesting space to be in, because you would be so unsure of whatever, because nothing at that moment in time made any sense anymore. And then it became reformatted. Yeah, I would even say another level of conditioning, but much more expansive in the sense of what we understand conditioning to be. Because what you understand, the conditioning brings about limitation. Limitation removes us from the infinite spectrum of the idea of life. We introduce limitation into our own minds and being so that we think we can understand ourselves. Now hear what I just said, so that we think we can understand ourselves. The logical three-dimensional mind can only understand things through limitation. Limitation is brought about by belief. Belief takes us away from consciousness. Consciousness is operating in the infinite idea of self. And belief removes us from that realm. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying don't believe in anything, because you would find written right on my website that I believe in everything. And yet, at the same time, I believe in nothing. I'm going to allow life, not necessarily to prove itself to me, but I will allow life to show itself to me. And in showing itself to me, I'm operating in consciousness. I'm not operating in a realm of limitation. I'm operating in a realm of seeing life for what it is. You see, in consciousness, there's no such thing as judgment. Can't be. In judgment, that's a huge limitation, because it reduces everything down to the comprehension of the person, the observer, you. You would be the observer of life. Whatever your belief system sits in and says is where you limit yourself, to where you bind yourself, to where you contain yourself into a life that may or may not be real. That's why Buddha said that life is an illusion. He didn't say life wasn't real. No. The reverse is true. He said it is real. But what he was sharing is how the mind can overlay its beliefs into things that don't exist and create in our mind the illusions of things that do not exist. That's operating unconsciously. You know, in a world today, we can operate unconsciously. You bet you can. But to myself, I think it would be more wisdom-filled to operate consciously, to know what it is that you're doing. Not why are you doing something, but to know what it is that you're doing. And to be able to observe everything about you while you're doing it. You see, once more, we tend to think that life is separated like the trees in the forest. It's not. Everything is inseparably connected. What you feel, I feel. What you think, I think. David Hawkins said it great in his book called Power versus Force. For over 20 years, he studied the impact of humanity upon each other. And what he determined was this, that one angry person can affect as many as 10,000 people, and that one enlightened human can impact as many as 1 million. That enlightened person is another word for a person operating in consciousness. I don't know about you, but I think it would be more exciting to affect 1 million people than 10,000 people. Because of pettiness, we can affect 10,000 people. Because of smallness, selfishness, greed, we can affect 10,000 people. But you know, when you look at the world today, consciousness is a two-way street. And if there are 1 billion people focused on greed, then they're going to affect 10 times that, according to David Hawkins in Power versus Force. But if you have 1 million people that are focused in consciousness and divine awakening and divine self and that idea of peace, aren't they affecting more? Yes. So you see, in the idea of the ancient prophecies of war between the forces of light and darkness, you could say that's going on. You could literally say that's happening right as we speak. We're seeing it. We're witnessing it. Yet, at the same time, we don't know it that way because we're so caught up in the physicalness of life. We're so caught up in the necessity of the illusions of our own selves because we prefer to continue to operate unconsciously. Sometimes I wonder, when we're conscious, we see life as it is. And a lot of people don't necessarily like that. I once heard it said that once a person awakens, they can never go back. Wow, that reminds me of the movie The Matrix. Because once he came out of the tank, and once he was awakened, he knew he could never go back. And that's true in life. Once a person becomes consciously aware of themselves, life, living, and what they're doing, how could anyone ever go back? I don't get that. In fact, Christ said it beautifully. I think it was in Matthew, I'm not sure of the chapter, when he said that once you place your hands on the plow and you turn back, then spirit will turn its back on you forever. Well, I don't know about that. Because you see, in the idea of consciousness, we all have one choice, really. That whether it be in this lifetime or another lifetime, we're all going to achieve that. Would you like a world of peace? Would you like a world of acceptance? Would you like a world of appreciation? Would you love a world where people honor each other and allow each other to be who they are? Would you? Then operate in consciousness and you'll have it. Here's the funny thing. Everything I just said is being thrown right in our face right now by reality. A few weeks ago, when I'm working on my computer in my office, when I get thoughts, I'll write them down. And what was written down was this, that if something is beneath your conscience and it's an inner situation and you do not see it, then the outer world is going to show it to you. It's going to give it to you. When we look at the outer world today, I think that's exactly what it's doing. Because, you know, there are transgender people now. There are gays, lesbians. There are interracial marriages, interracial relationships. Everything about every belief system every human has ever had is being challenged. I mean, not to me. I see it as a thing of beauty. And the reason I do is because of ancient prophecy. Ancient prophecy says that the yellow race will rule. A lot of people have thought through the years that that's the Chinese. No. What's the color of gold? Isn't it yellow? Or is ancient prophecy talking about the rise of the golden people? The unification of one people, one bond, one being. I say yes to that. And what we're witnessing is that birth process. And if you're conscious, you'll see it. If you're unconscious, you won't. If you're unconscious, you will be in conflict with it. Anything that defies our belief, we're going to operate unconsciously in because it's a belief. that it has to be this, it has to be that. It cannot be anything else, for heaven's sakes, ladies and gentlemen. People used to think that the world was flat, and that if you sailed too far, you'd sail off the edge, and they believed that, and they were so damn terrified it wasn't even funny. We still do that today on a different scale. In fact, Copernicus, when he theorized that the earth went around the sun, oh my, the Catholic Church didn't like that, and they threatened him and to burn him to death because it was heretical belief, baloney. That's what belief is. It's baloney. It's something you're programmed into and that you have to accept and that you have to operate in. And I say baloney. We're infinite creatures. And the increments that you see yourself in keep you from that. Unconscious. That's what the person is doing, operating unconsciously. Don't have to. You see, when we operate consciously, we can really appreciate each other. I know I can. I appreciate people. I love people. I think they're the greatest thing since peanut butter. Or maybe whipped cream. I'll just think about that. Not. But it depends on how we operate and interact with each other. You know, somebody that's selfish, it's not that they're a bad person. It's they're a person that's operating unconsciously. That's all. And what they're doing is they're operating from a perspective of being caught up in themselves. Is that so important? Are you so important that life is meaningless? If so, I think you have to take a look at yourself. Why? Because, hey, you're operating unconsciously. That has nothing to do with the greater whole. And we're all part of the greater whole. We don't have to think about the greater whole directly, but we can indirectly if we're operating consciously. How so? Simple. You can do all kinds of random acts of kindness. We can do all kinds of acts of paying things forward or doing things in support of other people. We can do that. But what are we doing? We're doing just the opposite. Not lifting humanity. Aren't we, in a sense, tearing it down? Now, is that inappropriate? Maybe. And maybe not. Here's why I say that. I know right now, without a hesitation or question, that life is at an evolutional point where it's changing, it's evolving, it's becoming greater than it's a thing that it's ever known. How do we know that? That's easy. Take a look at the world. Once heard it said that for things to change, everything has to come apart first. And once it comes apart, then a new direction has to be sought. Well, all right, take a look at the world. So is there anything inappropriate about it? My first response to you is no. But my second response is there is a different path. And that path is the one of consciousness, operating with each other in unification with each other, not against each other. Gosh, it's these beliefs that we have. Those are the things that create the differences. I was talking with a Muslim years ago, and I asked them what they thought the issue was in today's world. And here's what he said. Christianity invaded the Islamic world thousands of years ago, and they never left. And therein lies the dissent. We never left. What am I talking about? I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about Islam. I'm really not. I'm talking about beliefs. Beliefs are where we collide as people. And that's absurd, because it doesn't have to be that way. Life is a gift of consciousness, that we can realize what we're feeling, we can realize what we're experiencing, we can realize what we're doing, and yet most people would rather pay no damned attention at all. Excuse me a second. How can you not pay attention to your life? You call yourself alive. I ask, are you? You might be living, yeah, but are you alive? That's the question. Living and being alive are two different things. And most people, through my perception, is living. I'm not putting life down, don't get me wrong. In fact, I'm attempting to build the idea of life and living. What we're seeing today is humans living in limitation, self-imposed, I might add, because of preconceived notions, because of ideas that are bound to circumstances. The human is the only living thing that's not bound to any circumstance. Every other living thing is. A bird has to be a bird. Can't be a cat. Not that it would want to be. A cat can't be a dog. Dog can't be a cat. Cat can't be a cow. And we can keep going. Like Christ himself said, a fig tree can't be a pear tree. Well, it's not what he said, but he meant the same thing. It can't be. But the only thing that can change anything about their own lives is a human. We. It says in all ancient texts that we have dominion over all things. Doesn't mean we're greater than. It means we influence everything. And we influence everything through the idea of consciousness. Whatever the collective mind is what the world does. But because we're so unconscious to the collective mind that we're being overrun by unconsciousness. Not really. Consciousness will win, ultimately. It has to. Because that's the divine idea. That's the divine plan to get us to operate consciously. You find that in the last chapter of the book of Revelation where it says that God will come down and join us. And it will share the tree of knowledge with all of us. Wow. First it kicks us out of it, and then it's going to give it back to us. That whole concept is baloney anyway. But what we're seeing is the conflict of those two ideas. Unaware to aware. Three-dimensional reality says you operate in three dimensions. If you go into altered dimensions or others, which ancient prophecy says we're going to do, it has to become more than three-dimensional thought. It has to become more in the realm of pure awareness, which is consciousness. That we are conscious of what we're feeling. We're conscious of what we're experiencing. We're conscious of what we're being, and we're conscious of what we're doing. That's awareness, because we're conscious of it. We are with it. We are present with it. We are right there. Which is the funny thing, because that's the only thing the human can be anyway. Oh, yeah, no, I know. We have a time machine. It's between our ears. It can go into the future. It can go into the past. It can do a lot of things unless you train it. And training the mind, after having been a Tibetan monk, is the biggest thing, one of, that they do teach, is training the mind. Teaching yourself to be conscious in your life, teaching you of your interconnectedness. So you see, when they were destroying all my belief systems, that's what they were showing me, and how everything is inseparable. What you experience, I do. What I think, you do. What I feel, you do. I may think it in a different way. I may feel it in a different way, but I feel those. Happiness, sadness, love, kindness, sharing, selfishness. Yes, that's all aspects of human. But it's about being aware of them and to the value or no value of them. That's up to us. We are the only living, self-determining thing that there is. So what are we determining for humanity? Its end? Well, that would be ludicrous, because what does that accomplish? How about zero? Maybe we're here to learn that each of us can work together, that each of us can share, that each of us can express from our heart, that each of us are that level of pure awareness, that each of us are that divine nature that we were always intended to be. So you see, raising levels of awareness has its value. It really does. It has more value than not raising awareness. Why do I say that? Hey, you want global peace? I would say, there's your path. You want global acceptance? Then there's your path. You want global sharing? You want a world without borders? I mean, really? Then there's your path. All this other junk is junk. It's just junk. And it's taking us down a path to nowhere. In fact, it's taking us down a path to, as Christianity says, the end of times. It could. But you know what? I know it's not going to do that. There's no way it's going to do that. Why? Because life is more special than that. Life is greater than that. Life is you and I. It's us. That's what consciousness is. It's being consciously aware of each other and being willing to give into your life the greatest level that you can. You. We're all the gift in our lives. We're all the gift of life. And yet, it goes ignored. Doesn't have to, but it does. But we are starting to awaken to greater things, to greater levels of being. You know, to change anything in reality requires two things. If you're going to go on a journey, you have to know where you stand. That's the first point. And the second point is you need to know where it is that you wish to go. If you don't have those two ideas, then no matter where you go, you're going nowhere. If you want to travel from Reno, Nevada, you have to know that you're standing in Reno, Nevada. And you want to travel to Atlanta, then you have to know that that's where you're going. Now you have your two reference points. The reference points in life is operating unconsciously or consciously. If you're operating unconsciously, you know that. All you have to do is acknowledge it, and that's a hard thing for people to do. And then you want to operate consciously. Okay, you have your two points. You can travel from one to the other. Very simply, by recognizing where you stand is always the most important thing. You dislike your life or you like your life. If you dislike your life, you have point number one. You want to learn to like your life, now you have point number two. And then what you do is you gravitate towards liking your life and finding and locating the things that will help you along that path. They will give those things to you. Yeah, it's as simple as that. But you always need two reference points, where you are, where you want to go. When you know where you are, you know where you want to go, you have your two points, and you can do that. If you don't have those two points, take a look. Figure out where they are, what they are, and then you determine what they are, whatever they may be. That's your choice. And then whatever they are, now what you do is a simple thing. You gravitate towards where it is that you wish to be, which moves you away from where you are. Your nationality. Your nationality is only a thing. We make nationality important. Is it? People ask me where I'm from, and I tell them planet Earth. Because to me, being an American is not all that important. Because if I say I'm an American, and you say you are Lebanese, all right, there's a separation, there's a difference. But if both people say, I am human, they meet on a different level, on a complete different level, because they're not separating themselves through ethnics, through ethnicity. They're not. Just because you're born in a certain place does not mean that that's who you are as a person. It just means that's where you were born. You're a human, and you happen to be born in Lebanon. So what? Who cares? Or you're born in Saudi Arabia or Brazil. Who cares? You're still a human. And when you look at all humans, I don't care what color you are, all of your organs are the same. They are. And what do? We create junk because of belief, because of operating unconsciously. Yeah, that's what we do. Don't have to. We can do all kinds of things. Remember, we are self-determining. You and any human can determine whatever yourself to be at any given time. You can do that. It's an art. And we become what we think. Buddha said that. What you think, you become. What you think, you are. How your mind operates determines your operation. There's no way around that. And the only thing in life that we can really change is that operation. How our brains do what they do. If you're willing to take the time, and you know what? If you want to learn how to do it, I'm the person. I'm not saying that out of anything other than knowledge, practical experience. And you can find me by going to my website at www.hairfield, that's H-A-I-R, F as in Frank, I-E-L-D.com. You can also find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, you name, I'm there. To promote knowledge, to promote consciousness, to promote being, to promote self-awareness. Self-awareness is the greatest key in life, because it tells us who we are, and it tells us who we are about. And notice, I've said who, I never said what. What is the external trappings? What is everything that we wrestle with? What is everything that we struggle with? What is everything that we are in conflict about? What we've become to the point of defining self. Wow, what a mistake. That is such a limiting concept, and it will continue to be that way and in so many different ways in life. So if you'd like to contact me, you can send me an email at steven@hairfield.com. If you have any show suggestions, I would ask that you send them there. And if you have any ideas, please do the same. steven@hairfield.com. Thank you so much for being with us, and I appreciate you.